Taxonomy terms are all things that can have kind of fields attached to them, or rather taxonomy vocabularies and taxonomy terms and things, and also kind of files are entities. So kind of it's a general term for kind of things that can be loaded from the database that kind of directly relate to a table in the database. So let's see, what does the entity... So entities provide kind of a consistent way to access objects like that. So in core, basically, we're provided with an entity load function that kind of provides a consistent framework for loading things. Entities can have fields attached to them. They provide a built-in framework for having subtypes, which I'll go over in a minute, and then they handle revisions and things for you. So for the consistent kind of loading framework, so normally we're all used to looking at things like node load, user load. The name for the taxonomy one is different, but I forget. But anyway, they're all kind of, they all have similar formats. They take some list of integer IDs, and then in previous versions of Drupal, they've all kind of been written from scratch. So you really, it's kind of annoying, and especially if you wanted to implement your own types, you'd end up having to do a whole ton of code that was essentially copying directly from either node load or node save or something like that if you had some kind of custom table that you actually wanted to work with. So here's these are examples of the current Drupal 7 versions of node load and user load, and essentially they're using the general entity load function, which you give it kind of the type of entity, which is, in this case, just node and user, and then it takes some general arguments to look up the actual entities that you want. So you get things just, you know, the main IDs, some set of conditions, and then caching and things like that. Yes. So the other thing, which is really the biggest part of this, which is likely the reason that, well, one of the main reasons that you'll want to use this is that entities have the ability to have fields attached to them. So nodes in Drupal, well, there was CCK in 6 that allowed you to attach fields to nodes, but you really didn't have any other choice. So your main reasoning in 7 for using this is that essentially you can define your own types, which means that you're no longer tied to having nodes as the only kind of only place where you can store information without having to spend tons of time defining your own tables and accessing for that those tables and all of that. So it really provides a lot of flexibility, which is really fantastic when you think about it, because it removes a whole ton of work that otherwise you would have had to do. So fields are awesome. There was a presentation yesterday. Hopefully some of you guys went to that. You can create your own fields very easily in 7. You can define your own types, which essentially separates you. And I guess if you saw Angie's keynote, you know, she was talking about there is an initiative to try and like remove node from one of the required modules. And by having this entity API kind of part of core, it is now possible that we could remove node and still have like most of the functionality of that there, especially if you wanted to build your own type of thing. The entities also provide a really nice way of kind of subdividing types. So for nodes, you know, we're used to content types and kind of as a way of splitting up the types of nodes, and then each type can have its own fields, as I mentioned. Similarly, now in 7, terms have, you know, all terms have a vocabulary to like split up the terms into separate groups. So you could attach fields to a vocabulary, and then any term with a particular with that particular vocabulary will have those fields available to it, which is awesome. And similarly, comments are there. They also have content types. Just because they're always attached to a particular type of node. I don't think they have fields. I don't remember exactly. I guess just a list also. In core, there are really a couple other places. So, you know, there's nodes, terms, vocabularies, comments. There's also files, which, again, can't have fields, but Core uses the Entity API as like a really easy way to just, rather than having to rewrite a ton of code to load from the files table or load from, you know, the term table or the vocabulary table, it just kind of is all provided, and it's super easy. And then one of the other things that may or may not be useful to you, because a lot of the time it is not, is that the Entity API provides kind of automatic support for loading different revisioned versions of things. So, you know, we're all used to that in nodes, but in theory, you could implement your own types that would also have the same kind of revisioning support that Node has very easily. And again, you know, the other core types don't actually implement this, which because they're trying to kind of stay similar to how it was in 6, and most of the time that really isn't necessary. You know, you don't really need revisions on your user object unless, like, you had some weird case, and if that were to happen, you may very well be able to go in there and alter the current setup to actually add that, even, which is a nice change. Let's see. So, continuing on. So, for entities, it's kind of daunting to get going with all this. And my main recommendation to you, if you decide to kind of try and make your own types, is really try not to get too scared away. Because the hook for entity is really just only one hook, but there's a lot to making your own entity types. So the hook has, like, tons and tons of stuff in it, unfortunately. Yes. If I can skip ahead a couple slides, I can do that. But I'll just give a couple examples now, and I can go into it in more detail a bit later. So I guess some places in Contrib are using entities already, and that number is growing hugely. So one example, I guess, would be... again, there's the field collection module, which is a new one. Let me give a better example, because that one's kind of complicated also. More specifically, I guess, something like the commerce module is using entities. So, for instance, all the orders in the Drupal 7 commerce module are entities. So, for instance, that means the commerce module doesn't have to implement all the code to go and load up orders and attach any fields and all that. I don't know if there are actually fields on the orders or not. I don't remember. But, so there's orders. I think the commerce module also ends up doing entities for tons of other things, so things like transactions that are actually happening. There are a few others I don't remember off the top of my head. But, So there are tons of places in Contrib that are starting to use this, and it's great. So I'm just going to do this quickly. Let's see. I guess, does anyone have any questions first, just about this? I don't think so. All right. I'll go. So this is the hook. As I said, it's kind of terrifying. This is the only code I'm going to show today. But just don't get scared away by it if you can. You end up defining tons of information about this entity when you kind of define it, and you tell Drupal, oh, I'm defining this new type of entity. And you essentially have to give Drupal all the information that it needs to know about this. So things like what tables to look at. Optionally, you can have controller classes for things like that. So if you have a ton of custom logic for loading things, then you can define a class for kind of organizing and building up the querying and all that for the nodes. I don't remember what the node one does specifically, but it could very easily do things like access control and things like that. Similarly, you know, you have to define exactly what it is that, there's URI callback, which is essentially like, oh, how do I find this thing? And most importantly, really the only one on here that you're really going to be interested in most of the time that isn't just boilerplate is defining it as having fields, which is really what you want. So that essentially just tells Drupal, oh, this thing is going to have fields attached to it. So when you're loading up a node or anything like that, it knows, oh, I need to load all the fields for this thing too, and like join in those tables and add it to the final loaded thing. And then, yeah, you end up defining bundles and view modes, which I don't really want to cover, but are also pretty cool in 7. So, as I was saying, the Entity API is really great because it loads things from tables for you. But, unfortunately, at least in 7, it doesn't really do anything more than that. If you have a table, it will load it for you, but anything involving saving of your entities back to your tables is not implemented, unfortunately. So things like node save and user save and all that are still there and still implemented in code that looks almost identical across all the different modules, and you are pretty much stuck with that if you don't want to rely on contrib modules, I guess, and if you're kind of stuck implementing it by hand. Thankfully, if you there's the Entity API module in contrib, which kind of fills in all of the rest of the general CRUD stuff for accessing entities for you. So things like loading, which is already provided, and then saving, you pretty much just say, it kind of fills in the rest of the API that is missing from Drupal core, which is makes things a lot easier. So things like, So I mentioned, I don't want to skip off it. Basic doing it yourself. Again, you end up having to implement node save, node delete all yourself, and calling manually all these functions to control your tables, which is really not what you want to do. So I'd really recommend taking a look at the Entity API module, which provides kind of all of that stuff for you. So you have entity save, entity load, I guess one of the other main things about the entity module in contrib is that it lets you define, extending rather than just the controller class that I showed in the actual hook there, it lets you actually define objects for the entities themselves, which is a huge change from what we're used to in Drupal 7, or in Drupal 6, and I guess standard 7 as well. So it, rather than having just a standard class with all your node objects in it, if you were to define your own entity type, if you were to define your own entity type, that essentially means that rather than being a standard class, you actually have an object of that type that you've given it, which means that you could say, call the save method on that object, and it would automatically save itself, and you don't have to, remember, this object that I have is this type, so that means to save it, I have to call some special function, specifically calling node load or node save or something. Instead, you just kind of call save on that, and it's done. Same with deleting and all that, which is really fantastic. So it is a lot like representing things more as a model. So you end up with an object representing a record in the database, and you don't have to really think about anything. Yes, correct. So let's see. Other things that the Entity API module provides. So another thing that is kind of being worked on in that module, which, again, doesn't exist at all in core at the moment, is kind of a standardization of the way that things are accessed as far as right now, there really is a big division between things like properties and things like fields. So, for instance, on the node object, we still have things like the author, the access time, all of that. And they're kind of entirely separate things, loading-wise and general access-wise from fields. Fields, you end up, with big nested arrays of multilingual things, and properties are kind of really straightforward. And there's a lot of work to kind of standardize the definition of all those to make it really easy to know what properties this thing is supposed to have, how it works. And that's to kind of provide integration with a lot of things. Like you could have as this kind of expands out and grows, it's, it could very well have things like automatic definition of integration with views, for instance, because you no longer would need to, say, define your own views hooks that would have, like, listing all the properties for you, what type they are. Because in the Entity API, you've already defined a lot of that information. So you could say, oh, I have, you know, my new type has an owner user, and then have that, like, automatically in views for it or something like that, because you've defined, oh, this property has this type, it has this name, and it will be, like, really nice like that. Hooking into that, the Entity API also ends up doing, well, yeah, along with views integration, it could also very easily define tokens automatically, because right now, if you define your own type, you end up having to go through and implement all the kind of token things yourself, say, oh, this thing has, oh, you're loading this token, it has this value, loading it off the object, accessing all that, which is just, again, all of this is to reduce the amount of work that you as a developer end up having to do to work with your things in the database. And it's a huge benefit. And the last thing it provides is just helping you with the actual UI. So normally, the other big thing that you end up doing... Stop touching that. The other thing that you end up doing a lot when you are working with... just anything, really, if you're defining your own types, is you end up having to define all that boilerplate logic for, like, accessing things in the menu and having a UI for that. So, you know, you say, oh, I've created this new type. I need to go through and create a UI that, like, lists all of them, has the links for editing and deleting them, defining the actual menu structure for that. So, you know, there's always tons of little edge cases when you're building up something like that. And the Entity API module in Contrib again provides all that, and you can kind of just integrate with it. It's all there. Again, this module is kind of in heavy development still, so there is not a ton of documentation for all this, unfortunately. But it is growing, and yeah. So definitely take a look at this module. It will save you a ton of time when you are exploring entities. All right, cool. So, as I mentioned before, there are a ton of modules using this in Contrib. And it's actually really easy to see this if you just Google. If you search for something like this, where, you know, limiting it to Drupal, and you just search for the name of the hook, you can kind of tell right away that there are just tons and tons of modules in Drupal 7 that are starting to use this, figure out where it's exactly going to be best to be used. So things like the media module, for instance, uses entities to kind of represent the actual uploads. I'm not 100% sure, but, you know, you have something, you upload a file, and you don't necessarily want that stored, like, directly attached to a node if you had a media field, because, you know, there's going to be tons of weird dependencies. The file system in 7 is nice, but it still has some issues. Then there are a couple of really complicated ones that I actually wanted to talk about just in general as I'm going through this list. The field collection module and the relation module both kind of use entities in a really interesting way that I think kind of shows the power of them, which you don't necessarily immediately think of. So in Drupal 6, we all know there's field multigroup and the trying to add groups of fields to things and have that also be multi-valued. In 6, it kind of worked, but it wasn't really fantastic. And finally, in 7, we actually have something that can do that. And the way it does that is with its own entity type. So, for instance, say you are going to be adding, you want to add a group of fields, essentially, that will be multi-valued. Now, in, how do I want to say this? Normally, when you're grouping things together, you really have, there's no way to do it. So in 7 now, if you have this enabled, you essentially add a fields collection field to your object. So say you have a node, and I want to have two random text boxes on it that repeat for, like, name or something. So what you would end up doing is attaching a collection field, and then on a separate UI, you define the two text fields as part of that collection. And the way that that's actually implemented in the backend in field collection is by essentially creating an entity for every field that you add, creating an entity bundle for every type. So essentially, it's kind of like creating a new content type for every field that you add. So the field collection module defines a type of entity that's like, oh, this thing is a field entity, essentially. And every time you add one of those fields, it's going to create a new type for that entity. And that type is going to be where you attach your random fields. And then every time you create a node with something with that with those fields attached, the actual data there is going to be stored attached to an entity instead. And then when you load your main node, it's going to load each entity for that as well. And that's how they get around kind of the multi-valuedness. So that means that every time you're creating a new delta for that field, it's creating a new entity for that, I think. Another really interesting use case in Contrib at the moment, because Contrib really is where all of the really interesting use cases for this are at the moment. Core, it's used, but it really could be a lot better. So the relation module, which, I don't know, has anyone actually heard about that module? Maybe one or two? Yeah. So it's still kind of in early development, but it has a lot of really cool things that the Entity API allows. So in Drupal 6, we're all used to standard kind of node reference, right? So you go, you create, say, oh, I want this this content type to reference this other content type, and you really can't do anything else with that. There's no flexibility at all. And in Drupal 7, the relation module allows you to kind of build up relationships between things using entities. So instead of having like a custom field table that links everything together, you actually have a new entity. So every time you link two things together, that linkage is actually defined as an entity itself. The really cool part of that, which is really the main benefit of the relation module that is kind of making everyone kind of really interested about it, is as soon as you end up with something like that where you have an entity hooking kind of the two nodes together as a relationship, then that means that you could actually have fields attached to that relationship, which is pretty cool. So that means that you could have, using this the Entity API, you're essentially defining like this totally new thing that allows for real flexibility. Like you could say, oh, I want to define a relationship between a user and a node. And when you create that new relationship, it's going to be an entity, which means that you could attach like a type to that. So you could say, oh, this relationship has type friend or something, or type following. Which when you're doing that, in 6, it really isn't very easy to do, or you'd end up having to define your own types of fields to do things like that. And it really complicates things. Other examples, so we have the WYSIWYG module uses it for things like storing the actual profiles now, which is a very simple use case that kind of similar to the way that it's used in core. So it's kind of, as soon as you have a table in the database that you want to have access to, and you want to make it really easy to access that table, then there really is no reason not to use entities for that, because it allows just tons of flexibility. Organic groups is an example of something that kind of has changed a lot in Drupal 7, and a lot of that had to do with custom fields and custom entities. So in 6, you know, you define a node and you say, oh, I want this node to be a type, a group, essentially. And in 7, that's kind of the case, but essentially the way it works is rather than working directly with the node, the organic groups module has actually defined its own type of entity for groups. And then whenever you, if you have a content type, then you say, I want this type to be a group or something like that. every time you create a new node of that constant type, it actually creates a new entity. And that entity is used to kind of represent all the group data, rather than having to kind of pile all that data onto the node. It's kind of being stored separately to kind of make things more flexible. And I already mentioned the commerce module, so again, that does things like all the transactions that happen in the commerce module, all the orders, things like payments, I think, are used and stored kind of in, since they're all kind of, they have their own tables, and to make things easier for the commerce module developers, it's very straightforward to just have that be an entity, because it means that you can say load order and then give it an order number, and you don't have to worry about any stuff as far as loading that goes. And I think that most of these modules, again, core can't, but most of the contrib modules that I've seen that like people have actually been using integrate with the Entity API module. So that means that you have access to kind of all the standardized loading and saving functions, and they have access to all that, making their lives much easier. Let's see. So one of the other things that I wanted to mention that entities have kind of enabled is that in 6, I'm sure most of you at some point or another have tried to do a query where it's like where you say, I want to get all the nodes with such and such a value on a field. You know, you're writing some custom query, and it just needs to be accessing field data, and we all know how complicated the CCK module's tables are, right? They're kind of crazy. So in Drupal 7, in core, this is, we have the new kind of idea of a query that's built specifically for entities. So this is built kind of on top of the standard new database layer, and it lets you just do really, really easy queries that will be built for you automatically against field tables. So you don't have to worry about, oh, this table or this field is on this table, so to do this query, I'm going to have to join on this SQL table. And even better, because in 7, actual fields could have different backends, right? So if that field was stored in MongoDB, what do you do about that? You don't really have any option. So this kind of allows real flexibility of querying fields while still allowing you to have that data stored in different field backends, anything like that. So I guess you can see here, you say, oh, I want to do a query on node, and I want that node to have an NID of such and such value. So a lot of this is pretty similar to what you see in the standard database layer now. And it's just kind of, as you define all these, it will build that query automatically for you. So you don't have to worry about any of that stuff anymore. It's really awesome. Let's see. So I guess really what I want to get across is just that there's really no reason not to be using at least the lowest levels, the most basic versions of entities, if you're writing custom code that's going to be working on a database table that you're adding in your module. So think, if you go adding a table, really consider, does this thing, is it like complicated enough to be an entity? Most of the time, if you're adding a table, it probably is, because it really makes things easier, I guess. And yeah, as I said, consider using the Entity API module, because it really is so much easier. And don't get scared away by the hooks. The documentation is there. It tells you a lot, but you actually have to look in core for it, because the documentation online is not that fantastic yet. Hopefully it will be soon. But yeah. So I think that's it for my slides. So who has questions? Or who wants me to clarify anything? Because I was trying to get everything across. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know exactly. Honestly, that module is still being developed pretty heavily, so I can't tell you that much about it. Yeah, it essentially, I'm sure it will have access to all that stuff and will be accessible from views and stuff, I don't doubt. But I'm not sure off the top of my head. Yeah. So, for that, by default, I don't think that Views provides that. I'm trying to remember. I think Views does provide very simple access to entities, if I remember correctly. And if it doesn't automatically do it in core Views, then there's absolutely a contrib module for that. I don't remember off the top of my head. But essentially, what that means is that, yes, given a proper setup, if you've defined your table as an entity, then and properly defined your properties for that table and all that, then when you look at views, you know, we all go, normally you go to views and you say, oh, I want this to be a list of nodes or something like that. But again, because the entity API provides kind of an abstraction for all of that, you can very easily make views aware of your table and aware of like the very basic fields that are properties that are in your table, and also aware of all the fields that you've attached to that object. So it really does, the entity API really does mean that you really don't need nodes for everything. And in Drupal 6, there really was no choice. So if you had something, even if it would end up with kind of a weird architecture, you don't want to spend months writing your own full custom backend for your data. So a lot of the time you end up just saying, well, I'll stick it all in a node and so be it, you know? And you'll just do your best to work around that. And so using this, you can kind of, it really helps with the actual architecture of the sites that you're building. Because it just means that you don't have to be tied to nodes. As far as performance goes, that means that you don't have to, that means every time you load this object, you don't have to invoke billions of hooks on every module you have installed, probably. So that's going to help performance, absolutely. So it's awesome. Any other questions, please? All right, yeah. Off the top of my head, I don't really think there will be a ton, but the having more control over what hooks are invoked is absolutely the main one that I see, just because the basic loading of entities is still pretty much just you query the tables and you invoke whatever hooks you've defined for that. So when you define your entity type, you can specify, you know, when you're loading this thing, I need you to use this hook. So the node automatically says, or it automatically assumes that it's going to invoke hook node load on that, because the entity type is load. There's also a more general hook now for hook entity load, which means that you could define code that would work across every entity on the site. But that really doesn't come up very often as far as I can see. So in my mind, it really is just that, you know, you're doing a query and you're not then going on to invoke tons of extra calls to functions that are not pertinent to what you actually care about with your table. That's the main thing. There was a question? Yeah. Yeah. Yes. So bundles are kind of confusing if you don't have a good kind of sense of it in your head. So bundles, the best way to think about it that you're all going to be used to is essentially just thinking of them as content types. So you've defined your own table, and each item in that table, just the same way as the node table has a type column for exactly what content type that is, bundles allow you to kind of split your new entities into subsections, and then each section, or each subset rather, and each subset can have certain fields attached to it. So the same way in six, you know, you say, oh, I want such and such a constant type to have this list of fields. Bundles is kind of the general name for that now in the entity API, just because content type is kind of specific to nodes, because nodes are content, you know. But if you're defining anything else, that's not really that useful. So I think, for instance, at least earlier versions of the media module, I'm not sure if it does it now. You could have a content type for images versus video versus audio or something like that. So that's kind of the usages of bundles. I'm trying to think other things. They're essentially the main use case is just kind of taking a subset of the actual entities and assigning specific fields to them. But they can really be used for anything more general as far as creating subsets and just kind of loading extra data onto your entity. So essentially, by default, when you're kind of describing your entity's information, you list bundles, what bundles that entity is actually has available. You don't need to have bundles. You absolutely can only can use just one. I don't remember if it's possible to actually not define any, but you can absolutely define just one that has the same name as your entity. So things, for instance, in core that don't really need division, right? So say you have users, right? At least at the moment in core, user doesn't have any bundle information because there really is no like specific division for the core use case that's going to say, oh, these users are this type, essentially. Because the bundle shouldn't change. So like, it's going to be as you're creating this user, you don't really have a type for that thing. Whereas when you're creating a node, you know what type that's going to be. Does that answer? Bundles aren't a requirement. You can have just one, but they're there so that you can easily kind of subdivide things. Just think about them as content types, or in taxonomy's case, bundles are actually used as vocabularies, right? So you say, this taxonomy term has this type, and it's part of this vocabulary, for instance. Well, the problem is kind of that it does need to happen like as you're creating it. So, you know, when you're creating, you add roles to users, that's kind of a thing that's going to be changing, and it really is, that's more of a, that's, I guess, something that's more in flux and not directly tied to a user. It's kind of just always changing. Yeah. That is really the main case, is that, yeah, you say, I have, if you have some set of fields that's going to be reused and you don't want to have to keep specifying the same instances or, you know, using the sharing of fields kind of between each type, I think yes would be the answer, essentially. but it does kind of depend on your use case and how you'd be working with that data later on. And, you know, but if you, again, if you know that essentially this thing has a very specific type that is not going to change, that is kind of directly related to what fields are going to be available to it, then that's the place where you would want to use that. Yeah. Would you? Yep. Yeah, so here what you're actually defining is essentially just the names of the bundles and some basic information for them. So usually that's going to be populated programmatically. So rather, in this case, it's kind of, I just wanted to show all the code, so it just returns. But normally you'd define kind of the actual entity type there. And then after you have all this main information in this array, like on a secondary right below that, you'd, you know, for instance, call a function to get all the actual types of nodes in your database. And then you'd loop over that and add them to the bundle list. So you say, oh, this thing, this bundle has this name, essentially. But you don't define fields in that. Field addition is still very much part of the standard UI for that. So it's up to you to figure out where that UI would be or to add your fields programmatically. So along with name in there, you do specify where that UI is going to be. So you say this content type has a UI for its fields at this path within Drupal. Yeah. So it's not too bad, but it is kind of confusing. I think, again, if you do use the Entity API, because it provides a lot of that consistent stuff, it can help you with this. Because, as I said, like if you have a list of nodes or something, there's always going to be kind of a common use case where most of the time we all want the same type of thing, where you have a listing, and you have an admin page, where you go and you hit like manage fields for, and then for that particular type or something like that. Yeah. Any other questions? How are we doing for time? All right. Got like a minute or two? Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, that's not, I don't, yeah, if you're defining your own types of entities and you're not using the Entity API module, then you end up having to define all of the forms for that entity, right? So you say, oh, I have, I don't know, some, if for like the commerce module, you have orders. So when you're actually building a form to like enter an order, you end up having to manually call the functions to say, oh, I want to add all the fields to this form too. So there's field attach form and field attach view and all that stuff that you have to end up manually calling yourself. Yeah. All right. I think this is, we're done. Thanks. Okay. Unless there are any more questions. Thanks for coming.